Good morning. The sermon today is actually going to be out of the book of Proverbs. And if you want a base passage to look at, I guess chapter 22, verse 4 in Proverbs is going to be as good as any. I'm just going to read five Proverbs. They're scattered all over the book, though, so there's no point in providing references because we'd just be flipping pages the whole time. Which is why I suggest chapter 22, verse 4, if you really want to have one to look at. And then I'm also going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It's going to be pretty evident here shortly that the theme of the sermon is humility and the fear of the Lord. I do like the props up here this morning. So if you can't see, there's logs up on the stage, I guess probably for Ladies' Day. But I don't know if I'm supposed to sit on them or walk across them, jump, leap across them. Okay. Hopefully I just don't run into them and fall over. That would be embarrassing. So I'm just going to read five Proverbs out of the book of Proverbs to do with humility. And then I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and read verses 5 through 11. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, God, at this time, as always, that we have your word to be able to refer to and to read and to reflect on. We thank you that we have Jesus and his example. He teaches us through that example the way of humility and how we have to humble ourselves before you and be obedient to your plan and the design that you have for our lives. We thank you that we have the book of Proverbs, and within that book we have many, many sayings that teach us and give us insight into the kind of life that you want us to live. And this morning, God, as we reflect on the virtue of humility, I ask that you would help us to look into ourselves, into our own lives, to gauge how humble we really are and whether we're truly seeking you and the fear of you through that humility. Help us, God, to always know our places before you, that we are your servants, you are the king, and we live within your kingdom. And help us, God, to keep the example of Jesus foremost in our minds, that although he could have held on to the equality with you that he had, he chose not to, so that he could come live among us, dwell here on earth, and live a life of humility and obedience that not only led him to the point of death, but it was a death that was for our sins. And we give thanks for that, God, and ask that we would remember that at all times and be thankful and let his willingness to die for our sins be something that drives us to seek deeper humility. We pray in his name. Amen. I remember watching cartoons as a kid. One of my, I can't say which one it was because I don't remember, but I always found it interesting when they would have pirates or something involved and they pull out a map, and you know, so the map had that X on it because it was a place where there was going to be some kind of treasure, but they had to find their way to it. And it wasn't always obvious how to get there, and sometimes they'd have to go through different obstacles. So the cartoon would be about the journey. It would be about the search for that buried treasure. And for whatever reason, I always enjoyed those episodes. I think that when we look back to what we like to do as children, things that we had to search for were always exciting. And I know when, like at Easter, Devin would put out eggs in our house. She'd hide them, and the kids would get up and they'd go searching to find the eggs and to find what kind of candy might be inside them. And they always he always enjoys doing those kinds of things. I guess Isabel's getting into that a little bit more now. In high school, we'd go on scavenger hunts and things like that, where you get a list of things that you had to go find. So you'd have to track these things down in ridiculous places. And in college, we had terrible lists of things. Like, we had to go into a Dunkin' Donuts and ask for a stale donut. We had to come out. So, but you had the list, and then to complete the list, you had to go on the search to find the things that you were looking for. And we do those things as kids. We watch the cartoons where the pirates or the characters are off on a search to find something, or we remember the scavenger hunts that we went on, or the times that maybe it was ourselves or our kids would go out searching for hidden Easter eggs or whatever the case may be. And we remember those things through our time growing up, but it seems like for most of us, when we get into adulthood, we still continue to search for things. We haven't found what it is that we're looking for. And we've graduated definitely from looking for hidden eggs, I think, but we're still looking for things like the meaning of life. Some of us struggle to find some kind of definition for what life is all about. And we struggle to find meaning in the difficulties of our lives and the challenges of our lives. Or why did this happen to me but not to that person? Or why did these chain of events come to be in my life? And we search for meaning in those things. When things happen that we can't explain, or things happen to us that aren't readily understandable, we have questions and we want answers, and many times it leads us on a search for those answers. And sometimes that search leads us to different things. Hopefully it leads us closer to God, but sometimes it leads us to search out material things, wealth, success at work, whatever the case may be, because we think that if we search it out long enough, if we find it, then we'll get the answer that we're looking for. But hopefully, at the end of the day, when we keep searching for things to give our lives meaning, or to find that meaning that's eluded us up to this point, hopefully that search eventually leads us back to God. And hopefully that search leads us to find what we're looking for in that spiritual relationship that we have with God through Jesus. And as we're going to get to later in the sermon, when I actually go to Philippians and look at it in a little bit more detail, it's through Jesus that we actually find everything that we're looking for that sometimes we don't always know that we needed. But because of the deepest need that we have is to find that security with God, and we only have that through the sacrifice of Jesus, because our sins had blocked our access to God. As we read, Jesus came to this world and lived and died. And his death was for our sins, so that through that death and his resurrection, we could receive the forgiveness of sins. And then when we're baptized into his name, we receive that forgiveness. We're given the Holy Spirit. We're added to the church. And we receive that promise and that hope of eternal life. And until we really grasp that, until we really get our minds around that, we don't always put the details together about what's most important to us in our lives. And a book like Proverbs can be helpful for us when we think about this, because Proverbs is all about the search for God. Proverbs is all about how we live our lives now and how what we do now has implications for our relationship with God. Sometimes we read Proverbs and we think it's just it's about how to live. It's about what we should do. And it is those things, but it's so much more, because the entire context of Proverbs is we search for God, we search for wisdom, and when we find God, we find wisdom. When we find wisdom, we find God, and that's the end of the search, because that's all there is. It's why a book like Ecclesiastes looks to be so negative until you get to the very end, but when you understand what the ending is really about, you realize that the whole book is saying, stop wasting your time looking for success and whatever it is you're looking for, because it's right in front of you. If you just submit yourself to God and live for him, you will have everything that you've ever wanted and more. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about. There's aspects, Proverbs teaches us that there's aspects of that relationship with God as we search for Him, as we seek Him, as we look for wisdom, that will actually draw us closer to Him. And then Proverbs also identifies things that if we do these things, we'll actually be pulled away from God. And it's a very practical book when we understand what its purpose is. And humility in Proverbs is one of those aspects that if we submit ourselves to humility, to that virtue, and we seek God on the basis of humility, we'll be drawn and pulled closer to Him. Because humility, after all, is just a way of recognizing what we are and what we are not. And then recognizing in turn who God is and who God is not. Sometimes we have a false view of God, don't we? I mean, I've talked about this before. Sometimes we view God as being, hey, if I do the right things, then God will shower me with blessings. Or if I follow the right formula, then I'm going to be on God's good side and He'll give me something for it. Or if I just pray with the right things, the right terms, the right words at the right time, then God's going to give me what I prayed for. And if He didn't, I must have done something wrong. Sometimes we have a wrong view of God. And in Proverbs, humility and the search for humility and the search for God through humility teaches us how to submit ourselves to Him, knowing who we are and knowing who God is, and it pulls us closer to Him. Now, Proverbs is a book. The concept of Proverbs is the search for wisdom. Wisdom's the goal. The backdrop for this collection of Proverbs is the time that Israel lived during and after the exile. So the time in the history of Israel when they really struggled with the meaning of their religion. If you know much at all about the Old Testament, if you know just a little bit about the Old Testament, you know that the cornerstones of life for Israel was the land that God had promised them, led them through the wilderness to give them, the temple, and then later the king. But during the exile and in the time after the exile, they had none of those things. And if the promise of God was based for them on having those things and they didn't have those things, then what did the promise of God mean? And if the law had been given to the people as a way for them to live in the land where they could go to the temple and follow the king, but they didn't have those things and they were in a pagan foreign land with false religions all around them and all of those things, what was the meaning of the law? How were they to live? How were they to continue to be godly people who practiced the fear of the Lord and lived out the values that God wanted them to live if they didn't have the things that God had told them that they would have? It would have been discouraging. It would have been disheartening. And some of the law would have been confusing because of the specific commands that tied into the land or the king or the temple. And so Proverbs becomes a reflection on how to live out the law in that difficult pagan culture where the things that they had been promised that they would have, they didn't have. How should we live? How do we represent God among all this pagan activity? And Proverbs teaches them how to live that way. Proverbs teaches them the values to have. And what Proverbs really is reflection on the law based on living it out after decade after decade after decade. And Proverbs, it's not really rules. See, sometimes we read Proverbs as rules for life. Proverbs is reflections on life. And the way that we should understand Proverbs is every time we read one, we should read it kind of like with this caveat. Most of the time, this is how things go, but not all of the time. Because obviously, we can read probably any proverb and find an exception to some of those where we say, well, that's happened. But that's why I say Proverbs is reflections, not rules. Proverbs is like sitting down with a seasoned Christian and saying, tell me how to apply what the New Testament teaches. And that seasoned Christian would give some extremely good advice. But if you just take that advice strictly by itself, you'll run into a situation where you say, well, he told me that, but I saw the opposite. Because Proverbs is based on long time reflection on the meaning of the law and how to live that out. And so wisdom teaches us, and Proverbs teaches us, how to live in a pagan, ungodly culture, but how to live as godly, God-fearing people in that same culture. And although wisdom's the goal, it's the search for wisdom that's highlighted through Proverbs. And the search that culminates with wisdom is the search for God and the fear of the Lord. And that's why I said, you know, if you want to turn to a proverb, chapter 22, verse 4 is as good as any. It says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Those are three things. Three things that most of us would say, you know, that's what I want out of life. And if I have those things, I'm going to feel like I'm a success. I'm going to feel like I've arrived. I'm going to feel like the effort I've put in was worth it. Riches, honor, and life. And the writer of Proverbs says those things are brought in through humility. And humility is understood as the fear of the Lord. So for Proverbs, everything goes back to that starting point. How do we view ourselves before God? We can't understand Proverbs, and we can't pull out individual Proverbs without understanding that the whole foundation for the book is the fear of the Lord and our humble approach to Him. If we don't have those things, then the Proverbs, for the most part, they're going to be useless. Because they're not just a manual for how we should conduct ourselves in our relationships with one another or in business relationships. They all stem out of the idea that we follow God, we live in fear of Him, and we practice humility before Him. That's why the example in Philippians about Jesus focuses, remember when I read that, it focuses on His humility and His obedience. Not just that Jesus completed God's plan, but Paul highlights the obedience and the humility of Jesus. Jesus had to be humble enough to recognize what God's plan was and what His role was in that plan, and then to faithfully follow that plan through obedience, even when it led Him to death, death on a cross. And so Jesus exemplifies what humility is all about. Knowing who God is, knowing who we are, and being willing to follow God, to live, as Proverbs says, in the fear of the Lord with all humility, and to follow God wherever He leads. And so I want to reread these Proverbs. There's only five of them. And I want to give us three ways that we can pursue humility and the fear of the Lord. Because ultimately that's what Proverbs is about. It's 31 chapters. It's, you know, you can read through it pretty quick. Sometimes I hear about people, they're going to read one chapter of Proverbs a day because you can get through it in a month that way. So you can read through it pretty quickly. But as I'm going to say here in a minute, Proverbs is something that we should reflect on more than we should read through. So let me reread these five Proverbs. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. So the book of Proverbs encourages us to pursue humility and to pursue the fear of the Lord. I want to give us three ways that we can focus on those things. Three things that we can do that will help us grow in humility and in the fear of the Lord. And the first one is simply to read the book of Proverbs. Because as we read Proverbs, as we reread it, as we focus on the content of the book and what's in it, we'll learn more about wisdom. We'll learn more about the way of wisdom. We'll learn more about humility. We'll learn more about the fear of the Lord. But when I say read Proverbs and reflect on it, we might be better served by focusing especially on chapters 1 through 9. And if you turn back and look in those early chapters of Proverbs, you'll realize that the structure of those chapters is different than the rest of the book. Starting in chapter 10, we get these single sayings for the most part. But chapters 1 through 9 is more of a teaching format. And it positions itself as a father who's teaching his son how to live and what the value of wisdom is and why he should pursue wisdom at all costs and why he should be wary of anything that pretends to be wisdom but isn't really focused on the way of God. If we read chapters 1 through 9 and reflect on it, it will really teach us and instruct us what the purpose of Proverbs is, and then we can read the rest of the book. And when I say read it, like I said, we're better off to reflect on it. Proverbs is a book, because it it takes God's law and tries to condense it to say that this is what it looks like to live this out. This is what the experience of many faithful followers of God have experienced over many, many decades, even centuries of living this out. This is what we should do. When it comes to Proverbs, we should reflect on it more than read it. So we might want to read a few Proverbs and then meditate on them. We might want to write down a couple of Proverbs on a card or something and take it with us throughout the day so we can read it or go back to it and reflect on it. We want to meditate on the wisdom that's in Proverbs as a way of trying to get into what it means to really live this out. And so on that note, the second thing I want us to do is meditate on the character of God. Proverbs teaches us about the character of God, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. But if we're told that we find humility through the fear of the Lord, then we need to know something about the Lord. And when we look at the way that God is characterized in Proverbs, we see that God is a God of order. He's a God of wisdom. He's a God of encouragement and support. And when we meditate on these characteristics of God, they'll help us to remember who he is and who we are. And it will help us pursue humility and the fear of the Lord. And then third, we should meditate on the example of Christ. That's ultimately why I read Philippians chapter 2. We think about Christ. We think about the way that Paul said that Christ had every option of holding on to that equality with God that he had. But he willingly gave that up. Willingly. And through humility and obedience, he did the will of God for our benefit. And so the example that Paul leaves of Jesus is not just somebody who was out there doing the will of God, but he emphasizes those virtues of humility and obedience. And if we meditate on Christ's example, we'll be reminded of his humility and of his obedience in ways that will remind us to live the same way. So that's what I'd like to encourage us to do. Reflect on the book of Proverbs and on the wisdom that's in that book. Meditate on the character of God and on the example of Jesus. All three of those things are going to help us be drawn closer to him, to focus on his ways, and to walk that way of wisdom. Imagine in your own life, probably every one of us here would be willing to admit and say, I could use some more wisdom in my life. You know, sometimes I do well, sometimes I don't. If I had a better grasp of wisdom and the way in which God wants me to walk, I'd feel better about my spiritual life. Proverbs spells out that way of wisdom. It teaches us that if we submit to God, if we follow his ways, if we live in the fear of him, if we pursue humility, if we walk in wisdom, we'll find everything that it is that we're looking for, because God and his way is right in front of us. What's up to us is just to align our steps to walk in that direction. If anyone's here this morning and needs to respond to the message or to the gospel discussed about the purpose of baptism, to be baptized into the name of Jesus, to receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. If anybody needs to answer that call this morning, we'd encourage you to do so by coming forward as we stand and sing.